And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
This is the Athletic Football Show.
Welcome to Prospects to Pros, the show where we examine the guys who just got drafted to the NFL, the ones who are about to be drafted in the NFL, but right now we're talking about the ones who just got drafted in the NFL because Dane Brugler is here. He's back from Kansas City. The draft was last weekend, Dane. You are due for some much-needed R&R, but we got to have one more download before we let you go on vacation and forget about 2024 draft prospects, even though I've just been in your ear about Carson Beck at Georgia, that he may find his way into the first round. But no.
Planting your flag early.
Exactly. So we need to talk about this draft that just happened. And we're going to do some superlatives because you guys broke it down so thoroughly on the set in Kansas City. If you guys didn't watch, it was fantastic with Dane and Robert Mays. But this is a chance to look back and decide, okay, what are we really like? What were our favorite things? So, Dane, we should probably start with best draft. What team do you think had the best draft?
It's hard not to go with the Eagles. I mean, you get – now, obviously, this depends on Jalen Carter panning out and playing the way we think he can. But getting Jalen Carter, getting Nolan Smith in the first round, I know the whole Georgia former Bulldog aspect of this is a fun storyline. But and then they come back and get Kelee Ringo in the fourth round. I mean, it's not part of the draft haul, but then trading for DeAndre Swift. Like, it's just – they added good players, and on day two even, you add a Sidney Brown. They needed help at safety. Sidney Brown's going to help them, special teams and safety from day one. They needed help on the offensive line, depth. Tyler Steen, he's going to come in and compete for the starting right guard job, and then maybe he is the long-term right tackle. So for me, the Eagles, star power, depth, I mean, I think they kind of hit all the high notes for me. So if I had to pick one, the Eagles are at the top, but the Colts, I really like what they did. It starts with Anthony Richardson, obviously, but then, you know, hitting all these athletes. I mean, this is a Chris Ballard draft if I've ever seen one. Getting some key athletes, getting Josh Downs at pick 79.
Exactly.
Like, just a steal. It was kind of like Ballard's getting all these high-end athletes, and then he told Shane Steichen, head coach, like, all right, you can have one. Who do you want? Josh Downs? Okay, done. Here. You drop him into that offense. That's a lot of fun.
I had another college football writer texting me during the draft, and Josh hadn't been taken yet. And the text just said, did these people never watch Josh Downs play football? Because he's one of those, like, production-wise, it's hard to deny. And really, we talk about Drake May a lot as a 2024 prospect, but that was pretty much all Drake May had. And Downs was very productive and just
Small. That's it. Small, and he's a 4.48 athlete. He's not a burner, quicker than fast. But you want a guy that gets open. You want a guy that catches the ball. That's what he does.
That's it. So I had one that I realized this might be a little bit controversial because I know there's some people that think, okay, you didn't have to swap picks with the Eagles. You could have gotten Jalen Carter here, but the whole Bears draft I like in terms of filling needs. So you've got Darnell Wright in the first round. They need people to block for Justin Fields. I realize you may have wanted Jalen Carter or something different. They got a block for Justin Fields.
They needed a right tackle specifically, and they got the best right tackle in the draft. So
exactly. Yeah. And then in the second round, they get Jervon Dexter from Florida and Zach Pickens from South Carolina, two guys who will be, I think, first line interior defensive linemen in the NFL. They're starting NFL defensive tackles. Dexter, I've always thought, will be better in the NFL than he was at Florida. He didn't have a ton around him. He's getting double teamed a lot. who's probably playing more snaps than he should have. He's a 6'6", 310-pound guy who can move. Like, and then Pickens, I think, is a great value there. And Roschon Johnson, I'm just telling you right now, this dude is going to be a productive back in the NFL. He was that guy at Texas. He was a leader, kind of the guy everybody rallied around. Even though Bijan is a great player, you know, the perfect back prospect and a really good teammate and all that. But the Texas people will tell you that Roschon Johnson was the guy everybody listened to on that team. So I'm very excited about that. And I still believe in Noah Sewell, even though he had a bad year last year. I still think there's something there. I'm very curious to see what they get out of him at pick 148.
Yeah. And my guy, Tyler Scott, who I had a grade as a top 50 player, and they get him much later than I think he should have gone. You look at the Bears moving forward, Darnell Mooney's in a contract year. Maybe Tyler Scott takes over for him next season. Agree with you with everything you said about it. I don't do draft grades. What I do is I power rank 1 through 32, my favorite draft classes. Eagles are 1, Colts were 2, the Texans were 3. Just, I didn't factor in what they gave up. I'm just focusing on the players.
Right.
And obviously you get CJ Stroud, Will Anderson, right there you're going to rank high. Seattle is 4, and then Chicago is 5 for me. So I'm with you. Chicago had a heck of a draft. Seattle at 4, man, I don't think we once talked about Devin Witherspoon going 5 to Seattle.
No.
You think about Pete Carroll and John Schneider. This is their 14th draft. They've been head coach and GM together in Seattle. They have never drafted a corner in the first round until this year. And when you look at their track record on day 3, why would they? You know, especially coming off a year where they found 2 starters on day 3 at corner in last year's draft, why would you use a top 5 pick on a corner this year? I think that just tells you how much they love Devin Witherspoon. You know, and a guy that's under 6 foot, 185 pounds, you better be pretty good to draft you top 5. Obviously, Seattle thought so. But then they come back with JSN at 20, one of my favorite fits in the draft. Derek Hall, a great edge rusher. You add him to the rotation on the second round. Zach Charbonnet is really interesting when you have Kenny Walker. I can't wait to see what that looks like. You know, it's kind of like Kenny Walker's your home run hitter, where Charbonnet is your doubles guy and, you know, going to be more, you know, Walker's got more speed, more big play potential. Charbonnet is more of your, you know, in terms of your running back specific traits, your vision, your patience. That's where he is superior to Walker, but it's going to be interesting the workload and what they, is it strictly using Charbonnet and passing downs, or I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, you can pound on the defense a little bit with Charbonnet, who's a big guy.
Yeah.
And then take some load off of Walker so that when you do give Walker the ball, there's a better chance that those explosive traits come out and he breaks one. So, I mean, that's because you have a really good running back on a rookie contract in Kenneth Walker. Why not stretch that out as much as you can? Get as much mileage out of that as you can. And I think Charbonnet is good value there. And he can give you the kind of production that Walker would give you on most carries, and it keeps Walker fresher so that every once in a while, kaboom. That's the thing that I would do with them. And the Derek Hall pick I love too. It's he looks like a Pete Carroll type edge rusher. So I'm very excited to see that. The biggest surprise. Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, just a common theme with that Seattle draft. I think you look at all these guys, they're like football passion guys, like Witherspoon, Smith and Jigba, Derek Hall, Charbonnet. I mean, all the way through, they're all like, there's a common thread throughout this draft class that these are passionate about football, high football character players. So kind of a big turn from them possibly taking Jalen Carter, which, you know, there's questions there at 5.
Yeah.
They went a different direction with the entirety of their draft class.
So the biggest surprise, I mean, for me, it was right after the Texans take C.J. Stroud, which didn't seem that surprising. I realized there was a lot of smoke that they might not, but they needed a quarterback. But then to turn around and trade up to 3 to take Will Anderson, I was shocked.
Shocked that they gave up so much, or shocked that they
Just the aggressiveness of it. What do you, because you think you have another pick, you know, high in the first round, you could get a lot of value just picking there. But to say, you know what, this is the guy we want. We feel like we can really build our team. And those are going to be, obviously, Stroud's the quarterback. He's the most important player on the offense. Will Anderson's going to be the face of your team.
Oh, yeah.
He just is. That's who he is. And he will be the face of your defense. He will be the leader of your defense once, maybe not immediately, but eventually. And I just think it's great that, you know, with the new coaching staff coming in, they said, you know what? We are going to tell everybody what this team's going to be right here and get what we want.
This, we've heard a lot of different things coming out of Houston the last few days since the first round. This just feels like Will Anderson was our guy from the start. Mm-hmm. Highest graded player on the board. This is the defensive cornerstone that D'Amico Ryans targeted and that he wanted. But at the end of the day, they needed a quarterback. And so they had to figure it out. And even though they drafted C.J. Stroud first, I think Will Anderson's the guy they wanted all along. And so, but you take the quarterback first, and then you know, Nick Caserio, ownership, you tell D'Amico, listen, we got to take the quarterback, but then we're going to go up and get your guy. We'll find a way. We'll figure it out. And they do that. And the cost a lot. It was an expensive trade. And, you know, I did my, you referenced it earlier, my 2024 mock draft. And for the draft order, I just did the inverse of the Super Bowl odds. And right now, it's Arizona picking one and Houston picking two. So if that came to fruition, Arizona would have the first two picks in next year's draft, which obviously in hindsight would not be a great look. But obviously, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But it'd be awesome for Arizona. I mean, you're Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison, come on down. I mean, that'd be a heck of a haul. Because it's not, I mean, Cardinals still were able to trade back up for Paris Johnson and get their left tackle of the future. So the Cardinals coming away from this draft with two firsts next year, with three thirds, I mean, just all the draft capital for next year, they're going to control next year's draft. And that's exactly what they needed. With a new regime in place, a broken roster, uncertainty at quarterback. I mean, it's I thought the Cardinals just absolutely, in terms of process and plan, they killed it.
Well, here's the thing, though. If you're the Texans, I don't know if they would actually say this, but what you say to that is, oh, you might have just given away the second pick in the draft next year. We're not intending to suck. Yep. That's what say. And that's... it's a possibility, you know, with what they've done. And if C.J. Stroud comes in, and I'm assuming C.J. Stroud's your day one starter. You know, probably. Maybe not. Maybe you go with Davis Mills or Case Keenum at first. But I'm assuming he's coming in to start. And, you know, if he plays the way he did the last game we saw him play, they might be pretty good. So yeah.
No doubt.
I can't wait for that.
They have a chance to... Yeah, make some noise in that division, no doubt. And so you just never know with rookie quarterbacks. And the offensive line's okay. I thought that was a really interesting part of this. Usually when quarterbacks are drafted early, the offensive line's terrible. And those guys are in trouble. But you look at Carolina with Bryce Young at one, that pretty decent offensive line. Like he's actually going to a good – now receivers are a little more of a question mark, but his offensive line's pretty good. Houston – one of the best left tackles in the game. And then the other parts of the offensive line are fine. You know, we'll see about center. But I think for the most part, Houston's offensive line, it's not in the bottom five of the league. It's probably it's closer to the middle of the pack. And having Laremy Tunsil is a big part of that. But, I mean, for these two quarterbacks at the top, now Anthony Richardson, the Colts offensive line is still an issue. But for the first two picks with the Panthers and the Texans, it's interesting that their offensive line, not as big of an issue as we usually expect from teams picking that early in the draft.
Yeah. And it's funny with the Texans because you just always think of David Carr going there when they're an expansion team and just getting sacked every single play. But you're absolutely right. And
while Deshaun Watson, we first got there. I mean, that's why they traded the farm for Laremy Tunsil. And that, you know, obviously is a lot to give up for him. But they were desperate. They had to do something because Watson did not have any time to make any plays. So, yeah, it's a definitely been on the minds of, I think, the Texans' ownership to make sure they invest in the line.
You just reminded me one of my favorite picks when you talked about trading for Laremy Tunsil. So they traded to the Dolphins for Laremy Tunsil, mm-hmm. and the Dolphins got a ton of draft capital out of that, obviously. The Dolphins made one of my favorite picks in this draft.
Oh, yeah.
Devon Achane.
I feel like I mocked it into existence. Fair. I did it in my 7-round mock. I did it in my after round one. I did a mock for rounds 2 and 3. I mocked Achane to the Dolphins in both. Because I selfishly wanted to see it happen. And Mike McDaniel gave it to us. It's fireworks, man. I mean, this is you think about how they use their running backs in that offense. You think about Achane and the strengths of his game, the speed. Man, that has a chance to be a lot of fun. And so I can't wait to see it.
That is the most functional football speed on the field of any skill position group in the NFL. And it will be very difficult for defenses to deal with. I can't wait. I hope Tua Tagovailoa is okay, and I hope he's healthy and can play for a long time. Because if he can, holy crap, that's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, just ignore that I had mocked Michael Penix to them in my 2024 mock. But, you know, hopefully.
Well, listen, one lefty for another. And there you go. If something happens, you know, you just – well, I'm not trying to be cynical here, but one oft-injured lefty for another oft-injured lefty.
Yeah, so, you're not wrong.
No, we will get into your 2024 mock draft at some point. You said you're not reading the comments. I've already started reading the comments. That's my favorite part. So
I'm sure there's some good ones.
But let's talk a little more about this draft. They took him where, pick, like the person who went much higher than you expected.
I mean, you got to start with the Lions, what they did in the first round, right? With both Jahmyr Gibbs and Jack Campbell. When Jahmyr Gibbs was drafted at 12, that was the first like whoa moment for me in the draft. Because that's one where I just never even entered my mind. Like it wasn't even a thought that could be a possibility. Now, obviously, in hindsight, knowing they were ready to move on from DeAndre Swift, like it becomes more of a practical pick. But still, in the moment, it was like whoa. Wow. It's one of the, my initial reaction is funny. There's a clip from our live show. My initial reaction was, can you imagine Lions fans, if you mocked that pick ahead of time, they would have gone nuts. I love Jahmyr Gibbs. I cannot wait to see him. This is one of those, trust your offensive coordinator. If you're the Lions and maybe you don't love the value of where they drafted him, just trust your offensive coordinator. Ben Johnson will know how to use a talent like this, where his suddenness with his feet, his ability in the passing game, he has, and you almost don't even look at him as a running back. You look at him as a weapon, you know, exactly. And he's going to help you in the passing game. Line him up in the seat. Last year, he was 25% of his snaps came in a slot. He led Alabama in receiving. So, you know, this is a guy that, and it's funny, Jahmyr Gibbs is going top 20. The Jets were looking at him at 15, and there were other teams looking at him. He was not getting out of the top 20 picks. So I don't think it was as big of a reach as many pointed out. And I tweeted this Friday morning. It's funny how many Lions fans accused, Lions PR at it again, or, you know, the GM trying to save face, Brad Holmes. I was like, I'm... Right now, I'm flattered that you think Brad Holmes called me and said, hey, you mind putting this out there? That I'm flattered you think he would do that. But no, I mean, there were several other teams that I know were looking at Jahmyr Gibbs in the top 20. And so it's not as big of a reach as maybe some think it is.
Well, and Jack Campbell, who they also took in the first round,
right,
was potentially going to get picked up later in the first round, too. So in both cases, they had players they really liked who might not have been available. So I think that's really all you can do, especially if you feel like those are your guys. And, you know, Jack Campbell is one of those, it's definitely a culture pick. You put him with Malcolm Rodriguez, who you got for a steal last year. And that linebacking core could be pretty good. You've got obviously a very good defensive line in front of them. So Yeah, the Gibbs thing, I was surprised when it happened too, but then the more I thought about it, I was like, well, this is a person who fits my criteria for a first round running back. And I didn't have a problem with where Bijan went or where Gibbs went. If that's what you want, if that's the kind of weapon you're looking for, then fine. And you're right. They would not have been able to get him with their next pick.
That's it. And, you know, Campbell, it's tough. The only linebacker drafted in the top 50, top 60 this year. Now, could they have traded back maybe and got him? Probably. Like, we'll never know for sure, but I don't think another team in the first round was going to draft Jack Campbell. I know Buffalo was out there as a maybe, but, you know, they wanted Dalton Kincaid. And as soon as Dalton Kincaid fell past the Chargers, Brandon Bean was on the phone. Okay, we got to go make a move to go up and get Dalton Kincaid. And it's funny because they jumped the Cowboys thinking the Cowboys wanted him. Cowboys, Kincaid wasn't even the top tight end on their board. Sam LaPorta was. They were considering Sam LaPorta at 26, Dallas was. And actually, the Cowboys pick came down to Matthew Bergeron or Mazi Smith, either a guy they're going to put at guard or the nose tackle, and they went with the nose tackle. So it's just fascinating, you know, what teams think other teams are going to do and how that affects their decision making. And the Lions, in round two, even – like Sam LaPorta over Michael Mayer is interesting. That's one where, you know, you can look at it and say, I really like Sam LaPorta quite a bit. Just surprised they took him over Michael Mayer. But you know what? The Lions weren't the only team that had LaPorta above Michael Mayer, which is really interesting. And then my favorite pick of their draft is probably Brian Branch later in the second.
Absolutely.
Getting him in the mid-second, whether he plays slot, whether he plays nickel, more of a safety position, more of a corner, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they use all these defensive backs across the secondary. All I know is they got better because Brian Branch is a heck of a player.
Yeah, he's one you just plug in and you know that you're going to get production from him and that he's going to be smart and understand your defense and do what you need him to do. I love that. It is interesting because I believe our Iowa beat writer Scott Docterman said that the Lions had some fear of the Bills in later in the first round. But like you said, when the Bills knew they could get Dalton Kincaid, they were going. It's interesting because the Bills got Osiris Torrance in the second round, which I think is a pretty good pickup there. And then Nick Broeker from Ole Miss, I think, can wind up playing for them too. So
Dorian Williams in the third too. They needed a linebacker, and I thought they got a really good one in Tulane's Dorian Williams, who's long, young, he can run. The Bills, they were in my top 10 of my favorite drafts because I thought the Dalton Kincaid to Buffalo, that's one of my favorite fits in the entire draft. He's going to be their slot receiver basically, whether he's lined up, more as a tight end or a receiver, it doesn't matter. He will be that that receiving option they've been missing, and it's just going to help that offense. So, I love that fit. That's going to be something that pays immediate dividends for that offense. And then, add Osiris Torrance to the mix to compete for a starting job. And Broeker, that's a good call on day three as a guy you can work into the offensive line rotations, give you maybe some position flex up front. He gives you solid depth. So Buffalo, definitely an easy call for top 10 of my favorite drafts this year.
So how about he fell how far with the question mark? Everybody's going to say Levis because we saw so much of him in the green room, but that does make sense. Once the Colts took Richardson,
that's it. Right.
There was not a huge need at quarterback. The Titans could not take one. They've got Tannehill. They didn't have to take one. So it makes sense that if they're going to take one, they're not going to take one in the first round. You take them in the second. So I get that one. Was Michael Mayer the more surprising one for you?
Yes. I mean, I thought for sure he'd go in the first round. But real quick on the Levis thing, I think you're exactly right. Let's just say Levis went 4 to the Colts. Anthony Richardson's the guy that falls then. It's not like Anthony Richardson gets to 5 and Seattle's like, oh, we're taking Anthony Richardson there. No, I mean, Anthony Richardson falls and it's anyone's guess how far he does fall. Multiple teams tell me they got calls from Tennessee trying to trade back up into the first round to get Levis. The Eagles, the Chiefs, there are a few other teams. So the Titans were trying. It's just they couldn't find a deal to get it done, and they were able to trade up into the second to of course, get him. So even though it was a longer wait than he wanted, and just, you know, an unfortunate way to spend that first day of the draft being there in Kansas City and not working out, that's tough. But I thought he landed in a good spot where, this is not the GM that drafted Malik Willis, mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill. This is, you know, he's close.
Rand Carthon, new GM. Right.
So. He's close to the end with Tannehill. So, you know, it's he's got a real chance there to be the guy. And so I thought he, you know, it's a good landing spot for him. The Michael Mayer one is interesting. I think he's something that, yeah, Nate Tyson, I, every time we talk about Mayer, we kind of say this, but you just don't overthink him. Plain and simple. Michael Mayer might not be an elite athlete, might not be an elite blocker. He's just a darn good player, all around good player. Doesn't matter what you want. And so he goes to the Raiders in a second. Great fit for him. He's going to make that offense better from day one. We mentioned Josh Downs, surprised he fell out of the top 75. Both Tennessee receivers, talking about both Cedric Tillman and
Jalen Hyatt.
Jalen Hyatt, both those guys falling as far as they did out of the top 70 picks. That was a little surprising. And then DeJuan Jones. Not surprised DeJuan Jones fell. I expected him to fall. People are surprised. He was my 60-something rated player in the draft, and I heard from people say, he might go in the first round. And I'm thinking, this guy's not going in the first round. There's too many question marks, too many concerns, you know, football character concerns, weight concerns. But I am surprised he fell all the way out of day two into day three, and right into the laps of the Cleveland Browns, who, have one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL, and Bill Callahan. So that's an interesting fit for him, but still surprised he fell as far as he did.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
The Athletic Football Show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and to make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/maze today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MAYS.
So interesting you bring up Cedric Tillman and DeJuan Jones, because my next question to you was, what is the most efficient draft? And so you mentioned the Browns. Cedric Tillman was the first player the Browns selected. Their first pick in this draft was number 74.
Yeah.
Then they get Apuika from Baylor, who's one of my favorites, giant nose tackle, who when you're in an odd front, that's the guy you have two gapping or just trying to blow up the middle. DeJuan Jones, Luke Whipler, the Ohio State center, way down on day three.
Yeah.
Dorian Thompson Robinson from UCLA. I don't know that DTR is a starting NFL quarterback, but he can be a valuable backup, I think, at some point.
Yeah, a cheap backup. That's exactly what they need him to be. Yep. So I love what the Browns did. I mean, like you said, they didn't pick until 74, but they still got five of my top 100 players. And Luke Whipler was close. I mean, he wasn't a top 100 player for me, but I mean, he was still an early fourth round guy, I thought, and they got him in the sixth, and he fits exactly what they do in that offense. So a guy that you add to the mix for competition, maybe not this year, but maybe down the road, he's fighting for a starting job. Like Isaiah McGuire, they get him with their fourth pick, which was 126. I thought they might have drafted him with their first third-round pick, yeah, because he fits exactly what they want to do. Cedric Tillman, I don't think the Browns entered day three thinking, okay, we need to get a receiver, but it just how the board fell. And that's what I think the Browns did really well. They let the board fall to them, and it worked out really well where they just drafted good players. And I thought, you know, Cedric Tillman, one of the few true X receivers in this draft. I mean, you look at it, Amari Cooper, maybe only another year in Cleveland after this. We'll see, you know, the cap number, no more extra money due. There's a lot of things to work through there. Donovan Peoples-Jones will be a free agent. Elijah Moore, you figure is there for the long haul, but even, you know, he's not an established NFL player just yet. There's a lot of bodies on that Browns off wide receiver depth chart, but not anyone that's truly a proven commodity outside of Amari Cooper, and we just don't know how long Amari Cooper will be there. So love the pick to go get Cedric Tillman, and excited for what he could be with that organization.
We've talked about a lot of good fits. Is there one that you think, one player in this draft that you think, okay, he landed in the perfect spot? Maybe it's Devon Achane. Maybe we already said.
Yeah.
But any other guys that stick out to you that from a scheme perspective, or you just wanted to see this player matched up with this head coach or this position coach or coordinator?
We've mentioned a few of them. Achane's a good one. I think Dalton Kincaid and what he's going to mean for that Buffalo Bills offense is definitely one. But the one that stands out to me as the fit, I think it's going to be such a big impact immediately, is Jaxon Smith-Njigba going to Seattle. I would have loved to had a camera on Geno Smith when that pick was made. Like, I just fist pumping. Like, I mean, he's already got paid, so he's got to be feeling good. But now it's all about winning championships. And DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on the outside, you plug in a guy like this. And Seattle's been missing that number three receiver. They have not been able to, you know, De Eskridge, they drafted highly a couple years ago. He has not been able to really live up to that. Smith-Njigba, you plug him in there, and I wasn't sure if JSN was going to last until 20. We thought he'd go in that 11 to 20 range. Well, yep. He lasted at 20, first receiver off the board. I love the fit. I think it's something that from day one, he's going to be able to be productive. And then you also factor in Zach Charbonnet in that backfield, like we talked about. This offense, man, they've got their tackles. The interior of the offensive line's got a few question marks. But this offense, if Geno plays at the level that he did last year, or maybe even a little bit better, this offense is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, when Jaxon Smith-Njigba got picked and you're thinking DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, that is the Geno Smith reaction is perfect. I mean, I can't even imagine how he's feeling, because that's the thing with these quarterbacks is we always joke about the Aaron Rodgers thing, that the Packers would never draft him a weapon. But like the Lamar stuff, the contract stuff with Lamar, that came out on Thursday, the first day of the draft. Well, and then they picked Zay Flowers for him.
Yep.
It's like, here, we picked you some flowers. It's beautiful.
Talk about a narrative shift. A week ago, the narrative around the Ravens offense was, we just don't know. Lamar Jackson, who knows? They had to franchise him back to back. And, now they lock up Lamar Jackson long term. You add Odell Beckham. You add Nelson Aguilar. Rashad Bateman's coming back off injury. And you add in Zay Flowers. And all of a sudden, the narrative around that Baltimore Ravens offense is completely flipped. And it's not – if you're the Browns, the Bengals, or Steelers, you don't love that. You don't love to see what the Ravens were able to do last Thursday.
No. But I think it'll be all right. This is – as we said, the Browns had a good draft. The Steelers did all right as well.
Yeah. They were the other team that had – I think it was the Steelers and the Bears both had six players from my top 100. They – smartly traded up in front of the Jets to get the tackle Broderick Jones. When that tackle run started, Paris Johnson, then Darnell Wright, Skoronski, and then to get Broderick Jones. And then, you're getting Darnell Washington in the late third. You're getting a lot of value with the picks that the Steelers made. The other team too that I want to mention is the Packers. A lot was made with, okay, would they get that receiver or that tight end in the first round? They don't. They make the quintessential Packers pick with Lucas Van Ness. Like, that's fine. Yep. Van Ness is a good player. It makes sense. No problem with it. But then they come back on day two, and they draft two stud tight ends and a receiver with Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, and then Jaden Reed at Michigan State. And I love those three players in that with that offense, that scheme specifically. It's just a perfect fit.
Yeah, it's so exciting, and everybody. I talked about this on my show, the Andy Staples Show, because this is the part of the year when NFL fans, who typically tend to be more cynical than college football fans, this is where they act like college football fans with recruiting, because in college, all of the new recruits you have coming in are the best players ever. They're great, and I always explain to people it's because the people who cover recruiting and then those of us who cover college football, we're not going to say mean things about 16-year-olds. We're just not. But it's a little bit different in the NFL. But, man, everybody talking themselves into every single pick.
Oh, it's easy. Yeah.
It was unbelievable this weekend. And so I realize once minicamps start, everybody start poking holes in everybody else. But I do enjoy this one period of bliss right here where every pick's going to work. Everybody's got a whole – giant sky full of possibility ahead of them. So
that's why we love the draft. It's, right? It's why we love the draft so much. It represents hope. It represents, a lot of teams got better. All 32 teams got better, right? They added players. And so it's a matter of just seeing how it all plays out with training camp. And then once the season gets going, who gets the opportunities? Yep. It's a really fun thing to reflect on. And even going back, a year ago, and how were we feeling about the players in last year's draft? And with the full season, were we right about those guys? What about 3 years ago? It's always interesting to do that self-reflective look and just understand why things worked, why they didn't, and then use that for future scouting to make sure you get these guys right.
Well, and I've been interested to hear what some of the GMs have said about their plans because, sometimes they are a little cagey about it early on. But like Chris Ballard basically said, they're taking it slow with Anthony Richardson. That they don't intend to just dump him into the deep end of the pool, and Gardner Minshew's there. And that's probably how they should handle it. Although I'm sure when they get Anthony Richardson in their building, they're going to be really excited about the things he can do.
This is why you have training camp. Why predetermine when a rookie is going to start? There's no point. This is why you have training camp. Let it play out. If he earns it, great. Get him on the field and let's see what we have. If he's not quite ready, that's fine. You don't have to rush it if you don't need to. So, I never understand why we get these different proclamations from coaches or even owners who come out and say, oh, he's going to start.
I think it's owners more than anything else.
More so. Yes, definitely. I remember when Doug Peterson did this with Carson Wentz and, when they drafted him, and it's just like let's let training camp figure this out. You know, we don't need to put any expectations on these guys more so than they already have about when they're going to get on the field. Let's see how they do with once they get the playbook. Let's see how they do once they get into training camp and have a chance to, you know, get better, get coaching. And so we'll see how that works out with this crop of quarterbacks. Although it will be pretty surprising if Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, if those two guys aren't the starters from day one. I think both are equipped to do so. You know, with Carolina, Andy Dalton is there where if they don't have to put Bryce out there right away, but I just find it very hard to believe he's not the week one quarterback for the Panthers.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Meanwhile, you've already turned the page. Before you go on vacation, you drop a little bomb on us. The 2024 way too early mock draft.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because obviously everyone expects Caleb Williams to be the number one pick
right. In
the 2024 draft. I would be shocked if he's not. This feels like a very Trevor Lawrence type situation where
exactly. There's
just, I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. is amazing, but Caleb Williams is one of those quarterbacks that it's hard to find any fault with other than, you know, maybe don't paint the cuss words on your nails.
Well, and the Cardinals have the first two picks. So, I mean, it doesn't, you know, they could get the top two guys if they want. And that's the thing with Caleb. A lot of the reasons we love Bryce Young on the field, Caleb can do those things. Plus he's bigger, quicker, and has a bigger arm. So it's like, okay, now obviously the intangible factor is a big part of this. I mean, Bryce was just off the charts when it comes to intelligence on the field, his processing, all that stuff. Caleb, it feels like he's up there in terms of his ability to process. But
they're going to like him. They're going to like meeting him and getting to know him.
But that's a little bit of an unknown at this point as we learn, scouts learn more about Caleb Williams, but it feels like that's going to be something that shouldn't get in the way. And same thing with Drake May. You know, it seems like he's on the path of being a top five pick. It's these other quarterbacks we'll have to wait and figure out. Can Quinn Ewers from Texas, who has a special arm, does the mental part catch up? But we have to remember, he's a redshirt sophomore, and he skipped his senior year of high school. So technically, he's like a redshirt freshman, right? I mean, or a true sophomore, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think he did the quarterback redshirt. And that caught him back up with his class. But he's that's an interesting situation because Ewers should be good. He's got a ton of talent around him. I'm going to give you a name that I'm sure some of your college football listeners will know, but the NFL folks may not have heard. Malik Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the backup quarterback at Texas. And everybody's like, well, isn't Arch Manning the backup? No, Arch Manning is not ready to be the backup yet. Malik Murphy,
he's big,
really
right?
Good.
Big
he's
and
huge.
Yeah.
Very Joe Milton. Not quite Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson's set on a different level in terms of athleticism, but Malik is very similar physically, maybe is bigger, I think, even than Joe Milton, who's the quarterback at Tennessee.
California kid?
Yep. And so if Quinn gets hurt or for some reason is not performing well, Malik's the guy you're going to see there at Texas. And now he's not draft eligible next year. But it's a very interesting situation there because Ewers is, you know, we saw him against Alabama. He looks so good.
Yeah.
He gets hurt in that game. He comes back. His footwork's just all off. So that's – but he's one, if he fixed everything in the offseason, he could blow up this year with the guys he's throwing. Xavier Worthy, their tight end is fantastic.
He was in the mock.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a really interesting situation at Texas. And then you've got J.J. McCarthy from Michigan at 15, which I like J.J. McCarthy a lot. He was never really relied upon to win a game through the air until the Ohio State game. And then he did a really good job. He showed he has that capability. So, but I did want to ask you about, because if the Cardinals wind up with the number one pick, you can't not take Caleb Williams.
You have to.
You've paid Kyler Murray. I mean, how does one franchise bungle quarterback so much? Like, you draft Josh Rosen in the top 10.
Yeah.
The next year, you're like, oh, we messed that up. We're taking Kyler Murray. And now you've paid Kyler Murray, and you may stink, and you really can't turn this guy down if you're the number one pick.
If Caleb Williams was in this draft, the Bears don't trade out. They take him. They take Caleb.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a chance to get better at quarterback, clearly better, you do it. You don't have a choice. And if the Cardinals are picking number one, then obviously, I mean, Kyler's obviously with the injury, he's going to miss a little bit of time. But even, you know, if they're picking that high where they could have a chance at Caleb Williams, and something was off with the quarterback position to begin with. So there's financial repercussions here if they did that. But to reset the quarterback clock and get a guy like talent like Caleb Williams, they don't have a choice, in my opinion, if they are drafting that high. So that will be really interesting domino in all of this, just how that plays itself out.
Well, let the Caleb Williams, Drake May sweepstakes begin.
Yeah.
Dane, incredible draft cycle for you.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you to you, Andy, for coming on, you know, kind of steering the ship this year for Prospects to Pros, and, you know, all season. You know, your wealth of knowledge has been awesome for the show. And so thank you very much for everything you brought to it, having Lance. It's been a really good season of the podcast. And so I'm excited to run it back next season. It was a lot of fun. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. This has been the most fun part of my week. And I love breaking all this stuff down. And it's great to, because I, you know, cover these guys from one angle, to see how people view them from a different angle. And it helps me in my day job too. So this has been awesome. And
also shout out Marissa.
Our producer.
All the background stuff behind the scenes that you don't get to see, but she's been invaluable as well. So thank you.
Yeah. So Dane, you are going on vacation. Hopefully there's an ample supply of Mountain Dew where you're going. And undisclosed, we'll keep it off the radar. And have fun. Get ready. Beast 2024 is due in about 10 months.
Ready or not, it's coming. Got to start.
Thanks, guys. We will talk to you again very soon.
This was the Athletic Football Show.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.